Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Father, we bow before you now, and we remember that there are many in our fellowship, I suppose everyone, facing challenges and difficulties to one degree or another. And so we remember them, we pray for them. We ask you to minister grace and strength to Diane. Pray that you would bless her as she's enjoying time with her grandchildren. And I pray that you would give her a measure of physical relief and as she spends time with them. We pray for Susan Leanna as the baby is being formed in her womb and as she experiences some of the difficulties of childbirth that have come with the curse. As she's not feeling so great in the kitchen, but this week anticipates doing a lot of cooking for a large group, strengthen her in that endeavor. We pray, oh God, for Kelly as she has been wrestling with difficulty with her foot for some months and anticipates some doctor's visits and more tests this week. And we pray that you would bring clarity to what's going on there. And Father, doctors are just men. Just humans that have lots of skill and yet they're still limited. They're not omniscient. And we pray that you would give them wisdom and grace to help her. And we pray that you'd help her to find a measure of rest in your good provision for her and her family. We pray for Bethany and Jack as they are getting used to a new baby. And we pray that you would calm Bailey's stomach and help her to rest and to be more comfortable with her eating, and that she would be able to sleep at night and let her mom rest. Oh God, we pray for Kristen as Jean will be gone for some time through the summer co-oping. And we pray that you would sustain her and that sisters in Christ here would, with all these others who have needs, gather around her and each other, encouraging one another. Strengthen Martha as she finishes up school. And God, the list could go, we could go on and on. And even in praying, we are recognizing the fact that we are a people who live under difficulty and strain and suffering and sorrow. And so we want to do that in a way that is both life transforming and honoring to you. I do not have the perfect grasp on all these things, and so I pray that even as I try to teach, that you will help us and that you would translate for our hearts and ears what we need to hear in these days as we think about these things. And we pray that we would be seen as a people who go through trials and difficulties as those who have much hope. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we sang from this text in Isaiah 43 this morning, and that's a reminder to us of God's provision and nearness. We talked about some of those things last week. Today we want to talk about hope. And I've been using this picture of this piece of metal. I don't know what it is, steel, or I don't know about metals, but it's something really hard. And it's melty hot. And we've talked about how the trials and tribulations and sufferings that we can go through can be equated to being in a furnace. And the question we're asking about is how can we go through these fiery trials and be turned from this into this? Because that's where we want to come out on the other side, as sharpened and beautiful and useful. And isn't that a cool thing? We probably just ought to go home now, right? Because that's God's intention, evidently. From all the stuff we've been looking at in Scripture, He wants to move us from this just square thing. And I actually watch some videos. Had a brain itch, watch some videos of some guys taking a piece of metal like this, making it really hot, banging on it, and doing different things to it until it looked like this. And I think that's a great picture for us to get in our minds, because we have a tendency in our culture to think about suffering as an interruption to our own desires and leisure and comforts, rather than a process through which we go towards something that God wants us to be. And we're talking about this for a lot of weeks because it's very complex and we don't want to be simplistic about it. So we'll say some things over and over again, trying to get those kind of pounded into our understanding, to use the blacksmithing metaphor again. So we're trying to learn some of what God wants us to understand about suffering. And so today we want to think about suffering and hope. And in that, I'd like to use this these four ideas that for us to have hope. And again, let me give you another illustration or a picture that's been really helpful to me. I mentioned this in the sermon this morning about the windshield. If while you're driving down the road and there are lots of bugs and things on your windshield, I know that the first thing that you should do is clean them off. But if you can't clean them off, if they're there, if there's stuff on the windshield, and you start just focusing on those things, then you won't be able to drive very well. We need to be able to, even if you clean it off and you're just driving down the road looking at the glass, I mean, you can do that. You can focus on that piece of glass in front of you. You could get lost in thinking about the antenna that's embedded in the glass. And you can think about the curvature of the glass and even how did they make that with that tint at the top and not down here, and drive into a tree and kill yourself staring at the windshield, which was designed to let you be able to see through the glass towards what you're trying to the goal you're trying to drive toward, right? So don't stare at the glass. Look through the glass to the destination. And that's what suffering, it's one way to think about suffering. We don't want to stare at the suffering, we want to look through it. In order to do that, we need to make some head and heart preparation. We need to remember that one size does not fit all, that people are not all the same in their suffering and what suffering comes at them and so forth. And then we need to have an expectation of glory. I don't ever want to abuse Tim, but I always feel intimidated about trying to do acrostics in Tim's presence, you know, because I backed up and I looked at this and I thought, you know, those are the four ideas I wanted. I don't know if they're all about hope, but we want to connect hope with suffering, because all through the Bible, Bible authors are always about looking forward to the hope, to where God's going. And so in all the suffering, I think we figured that out like in the very first week. If the Bible is a lot about suffering and pain, but it's always connecting to hope and where God's going with that. Okay? So that's why I want to think about that today. All right. And today, just by the way, we've been kind of doing this in three sections. We've been talking about the furnace and philosophically thinking about suffering and pain and evil and the problem of evil in the world. We've been thinking what's the furnace designed to do? What does the Bible say about the furnace? And then for the next several weeks in June, we're going to talk about being in the furnace. Practical, I hope, responses and ways to think about walking in it. So that's what's coming. We've kind of been going from the philosophical to the just what does the Bible say, to the practical, how do I walk in the midst of this? That's where we're going. So let's talk about head preparation first, in the H in hope, head preparation. The scripture indicates, this is a quote based on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, suffering creates wisdom in people if they handle it in a godly way, and it doesn't make them cynical and hard. Suffering creates wisdom in people. That's kind of on the other side of suffering, but when we talk about wisdom, we're just talking about how we're thinking about life and then applying that to life. And we need to make effective head preparation, intellectual preparation, if you will, for suffering. Now, obviously, if you're in the midst of your suffering, it's too late to prepare, right? And I want you to know that I'm not saying to you, I'm going to like giving you an out. Audit the class, or at least this part of the class. If you're in the middle of it, just audit this section. I'm not expecting you to hear this, because I know that you're in the middle of it now, and this sounds hollow, probably. But the preparation, getting ready for suffering, involves getting your head around good theology. Before it happens, the time to head off temptation, for instance, is by making good decisions way ahead of time, not in the time when it's pressing you. Same is true for suffering. Now's the time to make appropriate knowledge. And I'm talking about understanding what the Scripture says. Suffering poorly reflects misguided thoughts about God, one commentator said. And so we want to battle that and fight against that by knowing what Scripture says. But I also want you to understand and hear me say that knowing what Scripture says means more than just theological data. Talking about more than just information. The Scripture describes itself as a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword that pierces to the very deepest parts of us. It gets in between the bone and the marrow. And I think that's a way for the Bible to say it goes down into the deepest parts of who and what we are. Remember when Jesus told his followers, if you want to follow me, you have to drink my blood and eat my body. And that was a hard saying. And so a lot of people turned away and left Jesus. And then he said to his disciples, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where else do we go? Who else has the what? Words of life. So it's not just information. It is the Scriptures are life for us. They are transforming and shaping. And so what we're talking about is letting the Scripture become the lens through which we look at life. So we are accumulating intellectual information. We're understanding, but we're also letting it shape and transform the way that we're living. So strive to know the Bible so that it becomes a ready lens through which you can look at all of life. Too often difficulty is doubled simply because we have generally ignored God's Word and we understand life through a distorted lens of our own earthy wisdom and understanding. And that's we just have a tendency to react to things that are going on around us through what we already know. And we need to be willing to understand that what we know just by nature is broken, or at least distorted by sin and by sin. It's just distorted. And so we need God's correcting influence. But it's not just the head. We also want to think about, here's an application. What are the thoughts that most quickly come to your mind when any difficulty comes your way? This is just a place to meditate for a little bit. And you might jot this question down for sometime this afternoon. When any kind of difficulty, just pick one. When any kind of difficulty comes your way, what are the kinds of thoughts that most quickly or readily or naturally come to mind? What kind of responses are in your head? And that'll give you an idea of how much Scripture is a controlling lens through which you're looking. But if the first thoughts that you have are, what are some of the non-biblical thoughts we have? How do I get out of this? Yeah, I just want relief. What are some other unbiblical responses that we might have going through our minds? Yeah. Why is this happening to me? Where did I mess up and how do I fix it?
This is just my luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is horrible time. I would have been happy if this had just happened last week. Yeah, right. Or next week. Uh-huh. If only. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I think we understand that and we can see, and if we can come up with them that readily,